It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Happy New Year and welcome to 2010 and a brand new edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Chris Shearn. As you all know, Joe Auriemma will be joining us shortly in our next segment. Another monologue for me. Kind of ditched that the past couple of podcasts because we just wanted to keep it short and sweet with the holidays. But now that the holidays are over, I get to vent by myself for about 6 or 7 minutes. And the first thing, a little bit, the Giants. I don't care if you hate your defensive coordinator. Okay? I don't care if you want Bill Sheridan fired and you'll do whatever you can to get him fired. I'm not even saying that the Giants did that. But to be outscored 85-16 in the final 2 weeks of the season, I'm not even going out on a limb here. And I'm going to say I've been following the Giants, a Giant fan, since 1986. Those two games back-to-back were the worst two Giant games back-to-back I've ever seen in my Giant fan career. And that's saying something. Because I lived through the Dave Brown debacle. And it's worse than the Dave Brown debacle because the defense, which should have been the deepest it's been in recent history, proved the only thing deep about them was getting the offense into a deep hole to try to dig out of. That's the definition of deep with this Giants defense this year. I just can't imagine. And I've talked to Giant fans. They're upset. A couple of them can't wait for next year. You know, this was an aberration. But there are some Giant fans, and when they're trying to sell these PSLs at the new stadium, which opens next year, it's not going to help them. And that's why the owner is PO'd. Because he knows people aren't going to be shelling out $700 a ticket and $20,000 a PSL for those presidential suites to watch that defense do absolutely nothing in 2010. Well, they got their wish. Sheridan's out. Now you can't blame Sheridan anymore. You're going to have an entire offseason with a new defensive coordinator to get your rapport with him, to get into his system, and to do everything he wants you to do. Okay? You might not like him, but you better play better. Because I got news for you. If you don't get jettisoned this year, OCU Manura, you're going to get jettisoned next year. Okay? That's the Giants situation. And I'm sure my partner in crime will have a ton to talk about with the Giants when he joins us in a bit. The Jets. Now, everybody thought it was going to be the same old Jets. They were going to go into that Bengals game and they were just going to get destroyed and they were going to miss the playoffs and the Texans would have taken the spot and everybody would have been miserable. Listen, if you thought the Bengals were going to go into that week knowing that they had a home wild card game already locked up and go into that game when it was almost negative degrees and play guys who needed to rest, you were crazy. The Bengals knew they were in the playoffs. They knew they had a home game. They knew they were probably going to play the Jets. Okay? The Bengals laid down. And Jet fans, it's great that the Jets, I completely trumpet what Mike Francesa said on his show earlier this week. He roots for every New York team. And I tend to be the same way. You know, I like the Giants. I like the Yankees. I like the Rangers. I like the Knicks. But you know what? I pull for all the other teams. It's good for the area. It's good for talk shows. It's good for podcasts. You want New York teams to do well. I'm happy the Jets are in the playoffs. But these people that have gangrene already past Cincinnati and playing and beating the Chargers or Colts already, listen, stop. Because all you have to do to beat the Jets is put 8 or 9 guys in the box and make Mark Sanchez beat you. And if he beats you, God bless you. The Jets are a one-dimensional team. If you stop their running game, the Jets go home. Am I rooting for the Jets? Absolutely, 100%. But all these Jet fans who have them past the Bengals already, I'm going to save my prediction for later, but I think you kind of know where it's going. Jets are going to have their hands full this week. It's not going to be the, you know, walkover that everybody expects it's going to be. Moving on. Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden of the Washington Bullets. Yeah, I know, they're the Wizards now. Abe Pollin, who just passed away, changed the name of his franchise from the Bullets to the Wizards because he thought bullets promoted gun violence. Well, guess what? I blogged about this. It's no longer about bullets promoting gun violence. It's about his players promoting gun violence. I don't care if the guns were just displayed for a joke, as Arena said, or pulled on each other as it was first reported, allegedly. The mere fact that the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, has to have in it that you cannot, you're first of all, you're able to be licensed to have a gun, okay? Which is every American's right. It's in the Constitution. The right to bear arms. But in order, this is in the CBA. You're not allowed to have them in the locker room. Isn't that common freaking sense? If the penalty isn't harsh for these two nitwits, then something's wrong with the NBA. Something's very wrong with the NBA, and David Stern has to look at himself in the mirror. The NBA, where amazing happens, where amazingly stupid things happen. And if you don't think it's amazingly stupid and you don't think the punishment should fit the crime, chew on this. Imagine if one of those guys actually pulled the trigger. Talk about baseball. The Mets. Big signing. Jason Bay. They needed that. They needed to fill that void in left field. But we're going to talk about how the Mets are a long way from being done. Okay? And I'll save all of that for later. The Yankees still have a hole in left field. Obviously, it's not going to be Holiday. Matt Holiday signed with the Cardinals, re-signed with them. 7 years, $120 million. That's 17.1 and change to you and me. Think about that. Think about that. That's like signing your name on a winning lottery ticket every year for the next 7 years. Not too shabby. Should have listened to my dad and kept playing baseball. Not that I would have made it, but it would have been nice to try. Would have been nice to have Scott Boras for an agent. Anyway. But Joe and I will discuss who the Yankees might bring into the left field situation. Or also, if you want to check into that, you could also go to Yankees Rumor Mill at YesNetwork.com as well. So a bunch to talk about. Giants, Jets, the NBA, baseball. And it's all going to come up on the Off the Wall podcast. Coming up next right here on YesNetwork.com. When we come back, Mr. Oriyama joins me. Stay right here.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz. Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones. The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman. River Ave Blues and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am the co-host, Joe Oriyama. With me, as always, is the host with the most, Chris Sheeran. Chris, I feel like Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon right now. Oh, ho, ho, hey-o.
Wow. You provide a little bit more information than Ed.
Oh, Johnny.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, thanks.
Hey-o.
All right. First things first, and I know you're probably chomping at the bit, as yes. you were last week, to talk about this.
Yes.
I know the Jets are the story because their season is continuing. But, you know, as the Yankees rule the baseball world in New York, mm-hmm. you know, for Jet fans, I feel for you, but... you know, the Giants spitting the bit the way they did, to me, is a bigger story, unfortunately, than the Jets getting into the playoffs and making the wild card round. And you could, you know, yell and scream at me all you want. I wish you would, and I wish you would call at 646-487-3668 and tell me directly where to go with my comments, or email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. That goes for Mr. Oriema as well. I'm sure he says some things that incense people out there. So please, by all means, give us a ring or send us an email. But I really do feel that the Giants not making the playoffs is just the biggest story as the Jets making the playoffs. And the way right. they went out, Joe, with a whimper. I mean, they came into the season like a lion, and they just went out like a lamb. I said that last week. I'll say it again. I mean, as a Giant fan, you cannot be sitting here, you know, going into wild card weekend and feeling happy about the way your team went out.
Well, what really sticks out at me the most is that Bill Sheridan is the fall guy for this whole thing. And look, was he a good defensive coordinator this year? No, he definitely wasn't. And they're probably going to get rid of a lot of the guys on that defensive staff as well. But I want to point fingers at the players themselves.
Absolutely.
Look, Justin Tuck, he played injured most of the year.
You can't get on him.
Can't get on him. But look, if you're that injured,
and I said that too.
Sit down.
You have to. For the betterment of the team, you have to.
But I see things on Twitter from Mike Garofalo of the Newark Star-Ledger, where he says before the Minnesota game and after the embarrassing loss to the Carolina Panthers, OC Umanura is in the locker room making jokes with people. It's a highfalutin atmosphere.
Let me tell you this. This is why I don't lose any sleep over football anymore.
Because they don't care.
They don't care. So why should we care?
And it really is, it's a shame because we sit there and we agonize week to week. And these guys, apparently, there's another rumor, I don't want to say who it was coming from, saying that OC Umanura, when the Giants were down by 30 or whatever they were down by in Minnesota, was flirting with girls in the crowd. Flirting!
Yeah.
There's no care. They don't care. They quit. On this season.
They absolutely quit. And, you know, I was talking about this with my father, and he's been a Giant fan since the 1958 championship game when they lost to the Colts and Johnny Unitas. Just to give you a little perspective on where my dad comes from with this team and where his angst might come from. But when it comes down to it, Joe, they're professionals, okay? They get paid to do a job, and the last 2 weeks, they took a vacation.
Yeah,
they absolutely took a vacation. And as far as their apologies, Eli, Coach Coughlin, take your apologies and stuff them where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, and
I don't want to hear it.
And you know what? A lot of this lies on the head coach, too, because the head coach
absolutely.
Is the guy that needs to motivate
absolutely.
These guys. If they're going out there and they're quitting, well, then the coach has to do something about that. But looking at it from another perspective, we look at the Giant team from a couple years ago. That Giant team that won the Super Bowl had Amani Toomer on it, had Michael Strahan on it, had Sam Madison on it, had R.W. McCorders on it, had veteran
A big-time leader, veteran presence.
A big-time veteran presence. And these are the same guys that were in locker rooms, like Sam Madison. When he started his career, he was just at the end of the Marino era. Strahan. At the end, you know, with Jesse Armstead and LT and Carl Banks, those are guys that understood the legacy of where they, you know, where football came from, where they came from in football lore, and they respected it. These guys are young, and they are stuck up, and they are rich, and they don't care about legacy. All they care about is green. And what's in their pocket?
To go out in the last game ever to be played at Giant Stadium and get absolutely demolished the way they did against the Panthers when all of the old-time Giants were there in attendance is a disgrace. Now their owner...
I want to say this as well, before you get into this. You know, I know a lot of people said, well, you know, Michael Boley played okay this year. He played okay. I'm not even giving him a pass. But for the thing that is going to stick with me, I don't care what anybody says, is the Harry Carson comment. Who is Harry Carson?
Wow.
Who is he to come through here? You know what? Harry Carson is probably the best inside linebacker, if not, you know, not the best, but one of the best in the history of the game, and he happened to play for the Giants. And when he speaks, you should listen.
Well, I know it's cliche to say this. You know, Yankee Stadium was the house that Ruth built. Giants Stadium was the house that not only Lawrence Taylor built, but those defenses built. They built that legacy that was the Giants. So guess what? When Harry Carson, a Hall of Famer, has something to say, if you don't want to respect, if you don't want to hear it, or if you say we can't listen to outsiders, don't say that publicly. At least take it in and say, okay, we appreciate it. What is that?
That's like Jorge Posada saying, you know what? Who's Yogi Berra? That's like Johan Santana saying, who's Tom Seaver?
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's mind-boggling to me.
It's a smack in the face.
It's mind-boggling to me. I just don't get it. And I know for a fact that guys like Tiki and guys like Michael Strahan, when Lawrence Taylor came through that locker room, I know for a fact from people that they listened to whatever those guys had to say. And these guys are a bunch of spoiled brats.
Well, you know, their owner said there's going to be wholesale changes and heads are going to roll. I'll believe it when I see it.
It's an uncapped year, though.
I know Sheridan's out, and I know it's an uncapped year.
That's a big thing, because if they can get rid of a lot of this dead weight, like the Rocky Bernards and the Canties and the, you know, I would even make a statement. OC, get out. Get out. I would make that statement. And if you can cut these guys free without taking a cap hit, I would absolutely do it. And Joe Callow made a fair point. He said, okay, well, if you're going to make a splash like OC Umanura, there's 212 free agents out there that could easily come in and do the job that he did. And there's one name that could do an unbelievable job in Julius Peppers, who's a restricted free agent, but the Giants could sign a guy like that. Goodbye, OC. Get off my team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we come back, Joe, are you okay with the Giants?
I'm okay.
All right. You got it all out?
I got it all
out. I'm just making sure.
Does it seem like I got
it all out? Yes, you look a little bit more reserved and calm. So when we come back here on the Off the Wall podcast, we continue with football and we talk a little New York Jets. That's next. Keep it right here.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on yesnetwork.com. We have left the New York football team that did not make the playoffs in the rearview mirror. And now we talk about the New York football team that's in the playoffs, the New York Jets. Gangrene taking on Cincinnati in the jungle this weekend, Saturday, against the Bengals. And you know what? I have to get this off my chest, because I've been listening to Steve Summers and Joe and Evan and Mike Francesa and all these callers calling in. And the big topic, it's like a horse that's been beaten to death so much that there's nothing left. It's just disintegrated. And it's the fact that the Colts and the Bengals laid down. Guess what? The Colts did.
Yeah.
You know what? But the bottom line is...
That's them breaks, though.
The bottom line... This is the bottom line.
Yeah.
The Jets won.
It's all that
And
matters.
The Jets got in.
Look,
there's nothing else to talk about.
How many times in the history of the Jets franchise, and Jet fans can say this, you know, till they're blue in the face, how many times did they not get those breaks?
Exactly.
For once they got the break. That's the NFL.
There's nothing.
It's not their fault that they pulled Peyton Manning after the half. It's not their fault. They went out and they still played and they won.
There's nothing to say. There's nothing to argue. The Colts pulled their starters. They pulled Peyton Manning.
That was a gift.
And for you Jet fans out there saying that they would have beaten the Colts, listen.
Stop.
You got a gift, as Mike said. You got a gift. You're in the playoffs. You won your last two games.
Stop talking.
Let's see where it goes from here. Okay, if they beat the Bengals, you're going to get the Colts at full strength.
Yeah.
You're going to get the Chargers at full strength. We'll see where this defense can go. Because you know the offense isn't going anywhere. We'll see where the defense can go if they get by the Bengals.
The one thing you got to like about the offense, though, is really they might, where we were talking about the Giants' offensive line 2 years ago, the Jets might now have the best offensive line, not just in New York, but in the NFL. I mean, they're that good.
No, they are. But the Bengals in the last week of the season didn't have three of their starting defensive linemen.
No,
they also sat Cedric Benson. He was a healthy scratch, like hockey. He was just watching the game, and I don't blame Marvin Lewis for doing that. Give the guy a week off. You have Larry Johnson.
You have Larry Johnson.
Absolutely. So, Jeff fans could be in for a little bit of a rude awakening here.
Yeah.
Because the Bengals are going to be at full strength. Chad Johnson, your buddy, had sex, and he tested out his knee. It's fine.
That guy is great, isn't he? He actually said that.
Did you ever test out your knee having sex?
That's what
anything?
He said.
Yeah, I know that's what he said.
I cannot believe this guy is hysterical.
So what's the touchdown dance going to be this week? It should be interesting.
He's great for the NFL.
Oh,
he's
boy.
So good. But like I said, it's this isn't going to be a shutout by any means. I mean, both teams have good defenses. Both teams have good running games. The two things that the Bengals have an advantage of in this game is they're home, and they have a quarterback that if they do, get a deficit in the game, if they're down in the game, he can lead them back to a victory.
And the Jets
can't. I don't think the Jets can.
The Jets cannot.
But the Jets are also coming in the hotter team, and the Bengals have kind of struggled down the stretch.
They lost three of their last four. The Jets won two to get back into the playoff mix.
This could be a great game.
It could be a great game, but Jet fans shouldn't be, puffing their chests thinking it's going to be, a walk in the park.
No.
You're playing in Cincinnati. This is their first home playoff game in quite some time, too.
And it's going to be, they said, 17 degrees at kickoff.
And even Chad Ochocinco brought it up. He said, this is not the week for jokes. This is not the week to talk. This is a week to prepare.
Right.
So even the guy that jokes around all season
right.
and sends his tweets. Now, listen, he just tested his knee out with sex. But he didn't want to talk any nonsense about Darrell Revis. He was just like, you know what? This is about preparing for this playoff
right.
game and getting a W this Saturday.
You're right.
So it's going to be interesting. I'm not saying the Jets have no shot. They have a shot. But Jet fans, calm down.
I just want to ask you, this is going to be an interesting weekend, because I actually think this could be a weekend where the road teams do thrive. Give me some of your picks. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, let's do the picks right now.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to anger some Jeff fans, but I'm taking the Bengals. I'm taking the Bengals over the Jets. I think the offense, Carson Palmer is going to complete more than one pass. I'm telling you that right now. It's not going to be that Sunday night game that ended the season. Cedric Benson is going to be back. He's going to have a week off. He's going to be well-rested. Ochocinco, as we mentioned three times, tested the knee out. Don't have to mention how he did it again. You've heard it. He'll be raring to go. And the Bengals will be formidable on defense as well, getting their three defensive linemen back. I just think the Jets being one-dimensional, and we were watching the game Sunday night, every time Brad Smith touched the ball, he ran.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in the game in their Wildcat or Tiger Cat or whatever the hell they call it, they're going to run.
Right.
Stack the box with eight or nine guys, the play's not going anywhere. Unless Brad Smith learns how to throw a pass to somebody from this week
to
next week.
Well, I mean, he was a quarterback.
I know he was a quarterback. But for the most part, he's not throwing out of that formation. Not for any part. Okay. I just really think the Bengals beat the Jets this week. So that's my first pick. My second pick on Saturday, Dallas Eagles. I really think, now listen, I thought the Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl 3 weeks ago, the way they were playing. It just seemed like everything was clicking. But the way they played against Dallas last week, and I don't want to hear about playing possum, because you had a chance to be the 2 seed and have a bye.
I agree.
And you went in there and
you
got
lost,
shut out.
You lost everything.
You went from the 2 seed to the 6. So don't tell me about playing possum as it was being talked about on Philadelphia radio. That is completely asinine.
Yeah.
Asinine.
I think the Cowboys have their number. I would agree.
Listen, the Cowboys took a haymaker on the right chin. Right chin? Right side of their face.
Right chin. Yeah.
Now you have two chins. They took a big time hit with the Eagles at the end of last season, okay? They have some payback to give. Wade Phillips was dead in the water 3 weeks ago. Guess what? He's coming back next year. The Cowboys win their first playoff game since 1996. They're not going to shut the Eagles out, but they're going to beat them this week. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Solidly.
Okay.
In Dallas. Okay, so my Saturday is the Bengals and the Cowboys. My Sunday, I'll do it really quick because I know you have to make your picks as well. Sunday, I think the Ravens beat the Pats up in New England.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the underdog up there. I know people might think I'm crazy, but I just think, you know, Ray Rice, if they get a lead, he can control the clock and control the game, that running game up there. And then the other game on Sunday, which is the Packers visiting the Cardinals.
It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game. Everybody has a lot of juice in the Cardinals. They're at home. You know, Fitzgerald and Warner.
Right.
You know what? I just think Rodgers has the game of his life and the Packers win. I'm taking both road teams on Sunday.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll go in that order as well. I think the Jets are going to win. I think they're going to beat the Bengals. I think the Bengals are limping into the playoffs. And I think it's the, you know, as much as we talked about how Jet fans shouldn't be pumping out their chest, I actually do think the Jets right now are the better of the two teams. I think they lucked out by getting the Bengals because I think that's the only team that is better than that they're better than in the AFC right now. I even think the six-seeded Ravens are better than the Jets. With that being said, I'm going to keep it in the AFC. I think the Ravens are going to beat the Patriots. I just think that the Wes Welker injury, even though, you know, many think that Edelman is just as good, I'm sorry. You lose Wes Welker, he's a big part of that offense. He's a slot receiver. Baltimore Ravens, they've been playing better. Their defense has stepped up. Ray Rice and Willis McGahee at that two-headed attack. I like the Ravens. We're going to go to the NFC. It's no question, I think the Cowboys they have the Eagles' number. I think they are going to be the lone home team that I am picking because I do think that the Packers are going to go into Arizona and they're going to take it to them. So I think three away teams are going to win this week and just the Cowboys are going to hold their home field advantage.
All right, there's our picks. Joe thinks the Jets, Ravens, Cowboys, and Packers. And I think the Bengals, Ravens, Cowboys, and Packers will survive and advance to the divisional weekend. It should be a very entertaining week in the NFL, so enjoy yourselves. But if you're going to drink, please drink responsibly and have a designated driver. And there's no kidding around with that. When we come back, some more not kidding around gunplay in the Wizards locker room. What Joe and I think about it when the Off the Wall podcast continues right here on YesNetwork.com.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
And now, back to a bald host that doesn't get any respect, Chris Sheeran.
And welcome back to our final segment here on the Off the Wall podcast. I'm Chris Sheeran. Joe Auriemma, of course, joins us every week for the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. And we'll wrap things up this week with some NBA basketball, not good news, and some baseball off-season talk. The first thing we have to talk, and the only thing we're talking about in the NBA, unfortunately.
Other than the Nets' three wins in the last 34 games.
3-31 is...
Boy.
You know, I thought they'd be better when they got some guys back.
They stink. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. But Gilbert Arenas.
Yes.
And Javaris Crittenden. If you haven't heard about the story, you obviously don't like to read the paper and get ink on your fingers. You don't like to surf that internet superhighway thingy. And you probably don't watch any TV. But if you do know about the story, then you know that Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden allegedly pulled guns on each other in the Wizards locker room over a gambling debt, a poker debt, which they play on the charter plane. Okay? I think it was $25K that Arenas owed Crittenden. So anyway, I touched on this in the monologue way back when. And I have to say it again. For the collective bargaining agreement, and I'm going to get Joe's view on this, for that to have in it that you're not allowed to have guns in the locker room, to me, that is the biggest joke.
It's a sad state of sports.
It's a sad state of the NBA.
Yeah. It's not just an NBA problem, though.
I know it's not just an NBA problem, okay? But Barry Switzer got caught with a gun in his suitcase.
Yeah.
So, it's, and as we said, you have the right to bear arms. It's your right, but you have to be licensed. But in an NBA locker room, yeah, over a gambling debt, and Crittenden's quote, allegedly, the quote was, "I'm not your punk." Why does it always, what difference does that make? Well, maybe my perception of their reality is a little off. But being a punk, stand up and walk away. Pull a gun? Oh, what are you, Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton?
What is this, the 1700s? I mean, geez, nobody's dueling here anymore. I mean, let's think about this logically. We've heard about fights among teammates, and that happens. I mean, that just happens. But to literally pull guns is a disgrace to an NBA that already has a black eye with the referee situation, and now with this gun situation.
And you saw in every article that came out, you saw the first line was, the gambling had nothing to do with games. They made sure that was in there. It had to do with poker on a plane. But here's the thing. Now, this story evolves almost every day. And Arenas, the latest from him, and I'm sure there'll be more, he didn't, as previous media reports stated, he said in his quote, he didn't pull a gun on him. He displayed the guns.
He had the gun, though.
To intimidate. First, he didn't have guns. First, he denied it.
Ugh.
Now he's saying he put him out there as a joke. But now he has learned that joking with guns is a very serious matter.
You know what? You know what the
really?
Funny thing is?
That's your statement.
You know what the biggest joke is? The biggest joke is that after this incident happened, he still got to play in a game.
Yeah. I don't get it.
He still got to play in a game. What the heck is the NBA thinking?
Listen, if Artest got suspended for an entire season for going
which up... Which he should have.
For punching a fan and going up and getting involved in a fight with
the
fans.
The only thing... the only thing he's upset with right now
he is didn't
that
reach,
he got caught.
He didn't reach into his waistband and pull out a Glock.
No.
And hold it to a fan's head. And I'm not saying Arenas did that in the locker room. I don't know what happened in the locker room. But if there were guns in there, the punishment should be strict. I said it once, I said it in my blog, and I'll say it again. What if the gun went off?
I'm just going to say this. To me, that was a 50-game suspension. There's 50 games left in the season. Get him out of the NBA for the rest of the season. He'll, without pay, he'll lose about $10 million of the rest of his $16 million contract from this year. $10 million, that's a very big penalty for this guy to pay. But yet, he's going to come back next year and finish out the rest of his backloaded $100 million contract. So is that really a punishment?
No. By 2013-2014 season, he's due over $22 million. Over $22 million. It's a joke that it's in the CBA, and it's a joke that he stepped on the floor after this happened. A joke.
He played in a game. Get him out for the rest of the season. I said, Chris, you know what? I don't think you can void out his contract. I don't think you can do that. I will say this, though. I think he should just be suspended without pay for the rest of the season.
I completely agree. And nothing less.
Yeah.
Nothing less. All right, moving on. Baseball. The Mets with a big signing, Jason Bay. They needed that in left field, but Joe...
Baywatch is over.
The Hoff. The Mets still have to get some pitching help. Still. Because behind Johan Santana, what do they have?
They need...
It's a crapshoot.
They need first base help. They need
help. They might get Delgado back. He's playing in Puerto Rico. They're watching him down there.
Can you rely on him, though?
Is he going to stay healthy? But what else is out there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They need first base help. They need catching help. And they need pitching help. They have a couple other holes to fill. And, look, they can go out and get a Gilmesh. They can go out and get a Joel Pinheiro. I don't think those guys, Doug Davis, John Garland, I don't think those guys are legitimate number twos, but I don't think they have any other options. Gilmesh might be the closest thing
they're a better number two option than Maynor, Pelfrey, or Perez.
Yes, I would agree with that. So they need to go out and get one of those guys before the offseason. And from what we're hearing, they're pretty close with Benji Molina. So Benji Molina will provide some power from the catching position.
And that's a good lineup. Should be very, Omar, preach patience. Now all he's got to do is put some kind of a number two behind Johan that could help Johan out a lot because he needs it. He can't do it all by himself. And don't forget, Johan's coming off surgery.
Yeah.
So, you need someone. If he goes down, God forbid, what do they have? They need to bolster that somehow.
No, you're right. And just looking, like you mentioned the lineup, you talk about it.
The lineup is a good lineup. If everybody stays healthy.
Reyes, Castillo.
Right.
Right. Beltran.
Bay.
It's going to be probably Francoeur.
Uh-huh.
Francoeur after him. Delgado, if he comes back.
And then if you get Molina, you have Molina.
Oh, you could even move Molina up, yeah. So wow, that's a pretty good lineup.
It's a pretty good lineup. All they need is a little bit of pitching help, and the Mets should be very competitive this year. Now, the Yankees have a hole in left field, too, much like Tom Selleck had a hole in his swing in Mr. Baseball.
Yes, Shuto.
Holiday's out. I said something on Twitter after the Yankees made the Javier Vasquez move that maybe they'll swoop in and get Holiday, but he was too much money.
It's not only that, but I think the Yankees are looking big picture. I think they're looking at it.
I tend to agree with you as they're looking more at next year.
They're looking at Carl Crawford next year,
and they're still going to be uber competitive with their pitching staff this year. So they don't have to go out and get a bazooka to kill an ant in left field when they can go out and get even more pitching help next year and get Carl Crawford.
They can get Lee and Crawford next year.
Even maybe get Crawford at the trading deadline.
Yeah, they're going to be set. So
we talked with Anthony Reber of Newsday on Yankees Rumor Mill. That's also at yesnetwork.com as well as Off the Wall with Mr. Oriem and myself. And it's probably going to be a low-key left field situation. There is probably a skosh of a chance that Johnny Damon comes back, but his price tag would have to come way down.
Yeah, Anthony said that
he didn't think that Damon has a snowball's chance
I agree with him, and I think that he's taking the Yankees at face value, but I don't take the Yankees at face value because they said it's just crazy to get Mark Teixeira and CeCe Sabathia in the same offseason, and they got CeCe Sabathia and Mark Teixeira in the same offseason.
From what I'm reading, everything I'm reading is that there's really no interest with Damon. The Braves would sign him, but it would be like $6 to $7 million a year. And if his price goes down that much and he's about to accept a deal from the Braves, why wouldn't Brian Cashman step back?
If an offer comes in at like 1 year at $7.5 million or 1 year at $8 million, I just find it very hard to believe that the Yankees would say, okay, we got to stick with the $200 million budget. This is going to put us at 204 or 205.
Yeah.
I just find it very hard to believe that they wouldn't bring
him back. I also tend to agree with Anthony, too, about Brett Gardner. I mean, you gave the kid a shot in center field last year. He didn't really do it. But I don't really think he had an opportunity. I think you let him start in left field. And if he's your ninth hitter and he hits 250, if Brett Gardner hits 250 in a nine hole and steals 30 bases, what the hell do you need Brett Gardner to be hitting home runs for?
No, I agree with that. I like Brett Gardner as a player. I think he's a very good, he's what Melky was. He's a very good number four outfielder option for this team. And I just think that he's better than Yeah, what we're hearing with Reed Johnson and some other options. I don't like Reed Johnson. Stop with this. Yeah. Stop. So
you could also trade for a local kid, David DeJesus.
David DeJesus and Jamie, and they like the kid Jamie Hoffman, the kid they got in the Rule 5.
Yeah, from this, I almost called him the Senators, the Nationals.
The Nationals, yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap things up.
Yes.
I'm just going to give you one more thing, and I'll let you take us home.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, just to tease next week a little bit, I came up with something to maybe solve the BCS playoff whole season nuttiness. And I want to run it by everyone who listens to the Off the Wall podcast. I'll give you a little taste. I call it the cream puff average margin of victory. And we will break that down. But it was too long with everything we had to do this week. And we could talk about the national championship game,
right,
which is later this week. And we will bring that up next week on the podcast. So that's it for me. Joe will now take you home on the Off the Wall podcast.
And taking us out of this show, we always kind of do a bump with a song at the end, is Joe Auriemma Sr., my father from 1971. So enjoy, everybody.
An oldie, but a goodie.
Yes.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day. That rainy day they told me about, and I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where is that worn out wish that I threw aside?